Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. I'm thinking maybe this sermon and one more ought to get us through the book. And we've been in Galatians for quite a while, but I think we've dug in and found some good stuff there, some gems that we can use to help us live our lives for Christ. The series has been entitled Set Free because really, as Paul writes to the church in Galatia, he is explaining to them that the only thing that will set them free from sin is Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross, faith in Him alone. And he's combating the Judaizers who are saying, no, if you really want to go to heaven, if you really want to be saved, then you're going to have to be circumcised. You're going to have to be like the rest of us Jews. You're going to have to keep all the customs of the law, and you're going to have to eat the right foods, and you're going to have to, you just continue to have to check off boxes in order to try to be right with God. Paul writes to the church in Galatia and says, no way. Christianity is not that way at all. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's what he preaches to them through this letter, and so that's why we could title the whole series, Set Free. We are in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 6 through 10. Today's message is entitled, Do Good Things. Now, again, I'm going to say something similar to what I said last week. Last week I mentioned that it's just really an awesome thing as we study together and make our way through books of the Bible and through series how God puts the church at a place in His Word where they need to be. This is a great place for us to be on the first Sunday of the new year. And so as I've studied this week and I put this together, I thought, man, this really works for the first of this new year. And so we're looking today at chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, at a message entitled, Do Good Things. Here's what the Bible says. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And now we ask you to teach us, to guide us into all truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the defining characteristics of God's people. One of the defining characteristics of the local church to its community should be that of generosity. In fact, God's people should be the most generous people on the planet. No one should ever outgive God's people. No one should ever outdo Christ followers when it comes to caring and sharing. Now just think about that for a moment. We ought to stand out as people who care and people who share. We ought to somewhat be known by that, because the gospel has impacted our lives in such a way that we can't help but be generous and care and share with one another. We should be known for doing good things that are gospel-centered, good things that flow from the power of the gospel that is at work in us. And so as a general rule, we should do good to all people, everywhere, with all things. Now, stay with me. We should do good to all people everywhere and with all things, and we should look for opportunities to do so, not just wait for them to come our way. We should be proactive in doing good things. The Bible teaches us this all throughout, right? You're thinking, man, this guy's, he's pretty simple. Yep, that's right, I'm pretty simple. But here's what it says in Acts about Jesus. It says in Acts 20:35, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, as we look in chapter 6 and in these few verses, we see in chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 10, the same sentiment being echoed. Verse 6 says, let him who is taught the word share what? In all good things with him who teaches. Now, this is not just about giving and receiving. It's also about sharing life together. The word there is a word that also means fellowship. And what the Bible is saying is, Paul is saying to the Gentile converts is this. Those from whom you've learned the gospel, me, Paul, those who are your teachers and who are guiding you in the way of spiritual things, make sure to continue doing life with them. Why is he saying that? Because the Judaizers, the false teachers, they're pulling on them. They're trying to gather them and to lead them astray, to lead them in a different direction. And so this idea of doing good and sharing in all good things has to do with doing life together. And then in verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so you see a special emphasis, well, actually two, do good to all. Who's included in that? In the Greek, the word all means all, so no worries there, right? Do good to all. And then he says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here's something we have to understand as we look around at ourselves. If we're not being good to each other, and we're not doing good to one another, it's not likely we're going to do it out there either. Right? And so it comes from the inside out in our behavior, but also here, right? It comes from the heart in terms of doing good to all. Now, here's something that you may have heard before. It's a saying about principles and methods. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods may change, principles never do. Did you hear that? So, methods are many, principles are few. Methods may change, principles never do. Well, the principle here is do good things. It's found from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And so it will never change. And that's kind of what Paul states here in these few verses. But then he makes some comments, and that's where we want to spend our time today. He makes some comments about doing good things. And so we're going to look at some spiritual insights, some observations that Paul makes and that help us to understand this principle of doing good things. First of all, I want you to notice in verses 7 and 8, the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. It says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The law of sowing and reaping. You may have said it, you may have heard people say it. You will reap what you sow. That's what Paul is saying to the church, the young church there in these towns in the region of Galatia. But notice how he starts off. He says to them, do not be deceived. Don't lie to yourself. Don't try to convince yourself that God is other than he is and that somehow he's going to make an exception to this law when it comes to you. That's what he's saying. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You know, it's kind of like, it's as simple as this. 2 plus 2 equals? Does it ever equal anything else? Don't be deceived. 2 plus 2 always equals 4. You always get the same results. 4 is the product, right, of 2 plus 2. Don't make a mockery of God, the Bible is saying here. He will not stand for it. How is he referring here to making a mockery of God? By indulging the flesh and then trying to buy God off by doing good. So it's living as I please, doing the things that make me happy, gratifying the flesh, and then I'm going to go over here and do a few things. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give a little. I'm going to do some good things, and maybe things will turn out right in my life. Maybe the product of my life will be good, so that what I have sown over here, I will not reap. The Bible's saying, don't be deceived. God's not like that. His law is true. It carries the law of sowing and reaping. It doesn't change. It remains the same. We reap what we sow. You see, there's a great desire. Really, it's a fleshly desire for us to reap what we have not sown. Think about that for a moment. Don't you want what you haven't worked for? I mean, we understand the value of work and the principles of hard work, but don't most of us want something for nothing? We want everything that we can possibly have and everything that we can possibly gather. You see, we have a desire to reap what we haven't sown. For instance, how many of you would love to see the church just explode with growth? How many of you would love to see your neighbors saved and become a part of the family and be on their way to heaven because they have trusted in Christ for salvation? How many of you would love to see a great gospel movement in our town and across our land? All of us would, I think. All of us would say, yeah, I'd love to see that. We're not reaping that because we've not sown that. We reap what we sow, right? We reap what we sow. So this desire that we have to reap what we have not sown is very real to us. It goes kind of like this. We expect good to come into our lives even when we've done bad. We expect reward to come into our lives even when we've been disobedient. We think that everything should be right with our lives, even when we've done wrong. I can't tell you how many people have come to me over the years, come to my office, and explain their situation to me. And they are hurting. They're distraught. Their life is not what they wanted it to be. And there's difficulty there. And we begin to talk about what's going on in their lives. And so what is happening is they are looking for a lot of good things, and oftentimes, they are doing a lot of bad things. And the reality is that they are reaping what they have sown. Now, how many of you love this principle now? How many of you love the principle of reaping and sowing? So isn't it just like us to presume upon God and to totally disregard the law of sowing and reaping? Farmers know very well this law, this principle. They know that when a person sows a certain type of seed, they will get a certain type of plant, a certain type of harvest. I remember when I was pastoring a church in a little town in Mississippi, and we had some land behind the house, and we planted a garden. A lot of people down south plant gardens, and the soil is rich. It's really good for gardens, and so we planted a garden. Interestingly enough, we had people in our church that owned chicken houses. If you don't know what that is, that's where they raise chickens, and they bring them in, and they raise them, they ship them out to one of the companies. But once the chickens are gone, in the house is good fertilizer. So we'd go in and scoop it up in buckets, and then we break it out to our garden, and we throw it all through the garden. And that year, I want to tell you, my garden just burst. I mean, it just came to life. It was awesome. But I kept watching my squash, and I kept thinking, that does not look like a squash to me. Now, it started off looking like a squash. It was yellow, and it kind of had the shape. But within weeks, it was like this. And it wasn't just because of the fertilizer. I actually had to get somebody in the church to come over and say, what is that? And apparently it was a variety of squash. It was, I didn't know, but it was some type of banana squash or something like that, and it did have a little extra oomph in it. But they looked like giant gourds almost. The reality is I got something different than what I was expecting, but I got exactly what I planted. Did you hear that? I got exactly what the package said that I planted. Paul's saying, sowing to the flesh reaps the flesh, and sowing to the Spirit reaps the Spirit. So, sowing to the carnal nature, the sinful nature, it goes kind of like this. If we sow anger, then we should expect to reap the consequences of anger. If we sow lust and greed into our lives, we should expect to reap the consequences of sowing that lust and that reap into our lives. If we sow selfishness, we should expect to reap those consequences. Now, if we sow to the Spirit, we should expect to reap those kind of consequences too. If we sow kindness, right? If we sow love, and we sow goodness and gentleness, all those things that are talked about in chapter 5 that are actually fruits of the Spirit. Everything we choose, every time we choose an action, we choose a consequence. Every time we choose an action, we choose a consequence. It's God's natural law of cause and effect, and this is why the Scripture is instructing us, do good things. Sow good things. Sow to the Spirit so that you'll reap the things of the Spirit, those things of everlasting life. And there's another kind of holistic idea here too. Think of it for just a moment. If a person sows to the flesh all of their life, they can't possibly expect at the end of their life to reap everlasting life. So if they've sown to the flesh all of their life, and they've sown to the things that gratify the flesh, and they've never turned to Christ, and they've never sown to the Spirit, why would they come to the end of their life and expect to have eternal life? And so there's a question that kind of comes about there as you read, because it says in verse 8, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life." Do good things, sow to the Spirit. And the second thing I want you to notice is the danger of losing heart. We have here the principle, the law of sowing and reaping, but then within that we see the danger of losing heart. It says there in verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It is possible for believers to lose heart. How many of you want to say amen? Right? It's possible for us to grow weary. It's possible for us to fail in our courage when it comes to continuing the journey of doing good and living the Christ-like life. Paul was encouraging the Gentile converts to stay faithful to the task of following Jesus, to not take their eye off the prize. He was encouraging them to continue to live rightly and do good things and even when there was no harvest in sight. That's when it gets hard, right? When you have been doing good things, and you've been doing them for certain people, and you've been doing them in certain situations for so long, and you are not seeing results, then it's easy to grow weary. Thus the caution. Don't grow weary in doing good. Vance Havner was an evangelist from North Carolina. He tells a story about when he was a boy growing up, that they would go out and play like most boys, but they would find anything and everything to play with. I did the same thing. Sticks, dirt clods, rocks. I mean, you know, we felt invincible. Well, they did what was called gully jumping. So they had some big gullies, and they would try to jump those gullies. And the idea was to jump all the way over the gully and to do it the first time. And as he's using this as an illustration in some of his sermons, he talks about how if you didn't jump the first time, you were normally in trouble. Because what happened was you had the courage to run up, and if you stopped, it was going to take twice as much courage to do it the next time. And so he would say that we would run, and if we jumped the first time, most of the time we'd make it. But if we ran up and stopped and came back, we ended up doing that several times, and sometimes we wouldn't even jump because the courage had gone away. They had been discouraged. They lost their courage to make the jump. Gully jumping illustrates a very vital principle in the Christian life. Nothing is more disastrous for us to study faith, to read about faith, to talk about faith, but never exercise it. It's fun to talk about. Love to hear the stories, right? But the more we get to that point and stop and never exercise it, the harder it becomes for us to continue to move forward in doing those good things that sometimes require faith. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So, here's what I want you to hear this morning. Don't lose heart. There's a danger as we move in to 2020. Where are we and what is going on, right? So 2020. As we move into 2020, you know, Andrew mentioned earlier about how 2019, you might have taken some pretty good licks, right? You might have had some pretty difficult times in 2019, maybe 2018, and maybe it just seems like they never go away. And so as you turn the corner, it's kind of like, okay, it's a new year, but you're kind of at that point thinking, yeah, it's a new year, and I'm having a hard time getting excited about turning the page. This past year has taken the wind out of my sail, and I'm not sure how much excitement. Well, it's not about having excitement moving into the new year. It's about trusting God, moving forward, sowing to the Spirit, doing good things, and not lose heart. Don't become discouraged. Exercise your faith. Don't lose heart. This passage in Hebrews tells us to take our eyes off of our circumstances and put our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To lay aside the sin. This is a good word for the first year, the first of the year. If there is sin in your life that you are entangled in, that is keeping you from running the race, that is keeping you from doing good, from sowing to the Spirit, you need to lay it aside. You need to come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and allow Him to restore you in your relationship with Him, because He will. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And so as we think about not growing weary, there's a danger of losing heart. As we think about not growing weary, keep our eyes on Jesus, take our eyes off our circumstances, lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. And listen, whatever it is you've got in front of you, whatever that gully is, go ahead and jump the first time. And don't talk yourself out of doing good. Don't talk yourself out of doing good things and continue to live the life that God has called you to live. Thirdly, I want you to see that there is the reward of perseverance and patience. You see how this all kind of works together, the law of sowing and reaping. There is a danger of losing heart when it comes to doing good things. And then the Bible here talks about the reward of perseverance and patience. There in that same verse, in verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In due season we shall reap. What that does is tell us that there is time involved in this process. In due season, when the time comes, we'll what? We'll reap what we've sown. But there's a conditional word there. It says if. It says if we don't lose heart. If we don't lose heart and stop, right? If we don't quit. If we don't just give up. So the law of sowing and reaping necessitates waiting. And everybody said, I love to wait, right? How many of you love to wait? The law of sowing and reaping necessitates waiting. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and he said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Did all that happen in one day? Absolutely not. It gives us the idea of a process. And a process takes time. And so the law of sowing and reaping necessitates waiting. The truth is, God is in control of the results of our sowing. And He will bring about fruit in His time, when the time is right. That means that we must persevere in doing good while waiting. We must wait patiently on the Lord to bring about the harvest, which, by the way, He has promised. It's a law. We will reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow. Now, don't want to get too far off track here, but the reality is, waiting is a difficult thing for most of us. But the Bible says a lot about waiting. One verse out of many in Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So the first thing there is wait. Wait on the Lord. What are we doing while we're waiting? The answer is good. That's what we're doing while we're waiting. We're doing good while we are waiting. We're not just doing nothing. We're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs and say, okay, God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for You to do whatever You're going to do. No, we're doing good. We're moving forward. We're living for Jesus. We're praying. And as we're waiting, the Bible says, in a progressive way, there comes renewed strength. So we wait, we are renewed. And then we mount up with wings like eagles. And then we begin to run and not get tired. We begin to walk and not grow weary. This is the strength that the Lord gives us in our waiting on Him. God is in control of the results of our sowing. I read a story about a man who was an elderly pastor who had served for many years, and at the end of his life, he was really just pouring into people. He was sharing all the things that God had taught him through the years. And he was just a blessing to so many people. And there was a man that was maybe 10 years younger than him that came to him and said, I would love to have your knowledge of the Bible. I would love to be able to do what you do and have your knowledge of the Bible. And the older gentleman kicked back in his chair and he said, well, judging by your age, you'll never have it. He said, what? He said, you don't have time to put in to get it. Because you see, what I am fulfilling right now, I started 50 years ago. It's the law of sowing and reaping. He'd begin to sow and study and prepare 50 years prior. Now, that's not to say the guy couldn't learn anything, right? But to get to where he was, it took 50 years. It's just an interesting way of understanding how time passes us by. We don't have the time to not sow good things in our lives and in the lives of other people. Generally speaking, we reap later than we sow. Right? We reap later than we sow, sometimes much later. Someone has wisely observed, nothing good grows overnight. Nothing good grows overnight. This is yet another reason not to lose heart. Some of you have been praying for years. Some of you have been sowing to the Spirit. Some of you have been working for the Lord. Some of you have been diligent and faithful. And you haven't seen the harvest yet. And the reality is, much of it is spiritual, and some of it you may never see. Here's an example. I think that really shows true in our efforts in praying. There's an example that comes to us from church history around the time about AD 330-331 in North Africa. One of the greatest theologians and Christian scholars that has contributed so much to our understanding of God. It comes to us from his story. In North Africa, a baby girl was born who would become the mother of this influential Christian leader. Monica was born into a moderately wealthy family. An old Christian maidservant who had also cared for her father took care of her and taught her the Christian faith. As she grew up, she had a family of her own. To her dismay and heartache, her husband was not saved. She took her children and gave them the best education that she possibly could, hoping that that would help, obviously influenced by Christianity, them come to know the Lord. But her son, whom she loved dearly, went the other way. He lived a life of, just a life of selfishness and fulfilled all of his pleasures and desires. And so the only thing that she knew to do was to pray. And she began to pray diligently, fervently. And sometime in his early 30s, St. Augustine, some of you heard that name before, became a Christian. He was saved as the result of his mother sowing in prayer. But here's the thing, at the age of 33, his mother died. She did get to see him come to faith in Christ, but almost did not. It took 30-something years to see the fruit come to bear in that life. And as he wrote his confessions, he wrote these words. He said, now gone from my sight, talking about his mother, who for years had wept over me, that I might live in your sight. He understood that the tears that his mother cried and the prayers that she prayed are what helped him come to that point in his life of recognizing Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then God used him in ways far beyond that he could even imagine. The law of sowing and reaping, we see it around us every single day. We reap what we sow. It is easy for us to become discouraged and to grow weary in doing good. Many times we want to throw our hands up and say, what is the purpose? What's the use in continuing to go forward? There's a danger in that. And the Bible here is saying, don't do that. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, in time, in God's time, and in God's way, you will reap a harvest. Thus the need for persistence, perseverance, and patience. I want to encourage you this morning to let the gospel of Jesus Christ be your motivation to do good things. Now, let me just say this as a caveat. I am not here saying this morning, do good things so that you'll be right with God or that you'll be saved. I'm saying do good things because you are saved. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm saying out of a life that has been transformed by the gospel, then we have the ability to do good things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do good things to all people all the time. Remember the law of sowing and reaping before you take action. Right? Before you do something, remember that it has consequences. And then once you do it and you are in the midst of those consequences, do me a favor. Don't scratch your head and say, well, I wonder why this happened. No, in fact, instead, do this. Say, God, I know why this happened. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to make a better choice the next time that I have to deal with this person or that I find myself in this particular circumstance. As we move into 2020, be careful. If you're almost to the point of losing heart, be careful. Remember that in due time, you will reap. That's what the Bible says. Which is difficult, you know why? Because it requires faith. And because it does require perseverance and it does require patience on our part. Know that God is faithful to reward those who persevere with the fruit that has been sown, with the seed that has been sown in their lives. As we begin this new year together, my encouragement to you is to do good things. Here's what the Bible says. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your truth that confronts us and helps us to know that there are consequences to our actions and that we should not be surprised that that law is constantly at work in our lives. Lord, as we stand on the brink of a new year, help us not to grow weary, but to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to trust in you, to walk closely with you, so that we can be as Isaiah described. We can be like that eagle that soars, and we can be like that person that runs and doesn't grow weary. God, give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to do good to all people and to look for opportunities to do good in their lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.